السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-e-Kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers. Last week I had introduced a topic, but we could not proceed very much because the subject matter that was discussed went on a different direction. Nevertheless, what I was bringing to your attention is this, that we are living in a world in which we have relationship with different people. We have our relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must be put right. Our relationship with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, relationship with the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and our relationship with our own nafs and selves. All these things have to be put right, then only we can claim to be good practical Muslims. And not just specializing in a certain field of ibadat and neglecting all the other areas and departments and aspects of our lives, and yet making very bold and loud claims that Jannat has been reserved for us. We have to look into our lives. Where are we going wrong? Sometimes it is our business life that is not right. Sometimes it is our home life that is not right. Sometimes it is our ibadat which is not right. So our akhlaq, our ibadat, everything has to be put right. And it is not something that is impossible. If it had been impossible to practice upon Sharia, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would not have made it compulsory and obligatory upon us to practice upon Sharia. How can Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala be considered as a just and a fair Allah if, na'uzu billah, He was asking us to practice on something that was impossible to practice upon? So Shariat of Islam, Deen of Islam, the religion of Islam, the teachings of Islam, they are for all times, all ages, all climates, all kinds of people. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us such a beautiful Sharia. As you always hear of the example, that if we have to just take Salat for it, that Allah Ta'ala has made it farz. Now Allah Ta'ala made Salat farz, so look at the number of concessions that go with it, and the number of rukhsats, as you call it, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives. That if a person cannot make wuzu, he is sick, he is ailing, or the doctor says the usage of the water will be harmful, or the water is not available within a certain distance, then tayammum he must make. So much so that sometimes people impose upon themselves certain difficulties and then blame Sharia for it. If, for example, a person is unable to make wuzu himself, he is bedridden, he cannot make wuzu himself, he has to take the assistance of somebody. Somebody will bring the water and make him wash his hands and his face and his feet. Then it's not necessary for that person to even make wuzu. That person should make tayammum. When I was in hospital, so it was the time for namaz. And of course the bed wasn't facing in the direction of the Qibla. And I had just recovered from the bypass. Now all the tubes that were in the body. Now imagine if I have to ask the doctors now to move my bed in the direction of the Qibla. and bring water so that I may make wuzu, to make namaz, then what impression would that have been creating upon the personnel there, that Islam is a very difficult religion? And in fact, this is what some of them said afterwards, that some of our patients, they come here, they make life very difficult for us. They cannot get up from the bed, they cannot wash their hands, they cannot wash their feet, but they will insist that somebody must bring a dish, somebody must bring water, somebody must make them wash their hands. Now Sharia allows us that at such a time the person should just make tayammum. How easy Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it. Also, when a person, or if a person cannot make the namaz standing position, then he must sit and read. Again, when it comes to sitting and reading, there too that it is so simple and so easy that if the person cannot make sajda, if the person cannot go into sajda, then he doesn't even have to stand and read the salat and then sit on the chair and get up again and sit again. There's no need for that. The person can sit on the chair and make the salat. But since this subject just suddenly came to mind, let me just mention one masla also. As far as the brothers who are sitting on the chairs are concerned, I was also a member of your club for a number of days after the operation. So one masla that we must remember, that as far as possible, we should avoid chairs with backrest. If we have got a back problem, a spinal problem, that we cannot go into ruku, we can't go into sajda, and we got a serious back problem, then it is okay if we sit on a chair with a backrest and make salat. But if we don't have a back problem, then use the plastic stools that are available and sit with humility in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It does not befit a servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to read namaz relaxed with his back against the backrest. If there is no stool available, or if the person is reading on a chair with a backrest, then at least come forward a little and sit humbly and then make the salat. But as far as possible, yes, for listening to lectures and listening to bayans and things like that, it is acceptable. But when it comes to the salat itself, then try your level best to avoid chairs with a backrest. In fact, in one masjid that I went in another country, I won't mention, there was a whole section almost half the size of this masjid where there were only chairs. Only chairs. And most of the people that came in, they went for the chairs and they sat there. I was very surprised and shocked. So I was told, no, these people are sick. So there's no harm and no sin if the person is sick, then he makes use of this concession. But then to place it in such a manner that it looks like a railway station, then definitely that is not right. So we should try and avoid that. But the masla that I was discussing was that if a person cannot sit, if the person cannot make sajda, he can't go into sajda, and he has to sit and read salat, then he does not even have to stand and read and then sit on the chair and then get up. The person cannot sit and read, he can lie down and read. Now look at the concessions. So no tayammum, that the person can't make wuzu, then make tayammum. Cannot stand and read, sit and read, but read. So it shows that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he made something compulsory, then together with that he gave us so much of concessions. He eased our difficulties and problems. What if Allah ta'ala had made it compulsory that whatever condition you are in, you have to stand and read your salat? So Shariat of Islam, whatever Allah ta'ala has made compulsory for us, it is practical in any time, any age, any climate. It is not difficult. Yes, if we make things difficult for ourselves, then we must blame ourselves. Most of the times when a person cannot get up for salat or he cannot make his salat, it is not that Shariat has made it difficult. Take a journey, for example. A person is traveling from here to Cape Town, or is going overseas. Now he has left his home and he has become a musafir. Whilst he is traveling, the salat time of Zuhur will set in. Just for argument's sake, if the salat time for Zuhur is 12 o'clock, Zawal is 12 o'clock, and after that is time for Zuhur. Now it's not necessary that the person must stop straight away and make his Zuhur namaz. Look at the beautiful teachings of the Sharia. Look at the example of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at the examples of his companions. Now, who could have had more love for Allah Ta'ala and who could have been more concerned about the Salat than the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam himself? But yet Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his example we find how the Zuhr and the Asr Salat, now we will talk about the Hanafi ruling, that the person can continue his journey. Now the Zuhr time has set in, but he can continue with his journey until just before Asr. Now if Asr is commencing at say 4 o'clock, so he can stop somewhere at 3:45, make his wuzu, make just 2 rakats of Salat, and if he has some snack or some tea or just relaxes 5 minutes, it will be time for Asr. So then he makes his Asr Salat 2 rakats. So within 10 minutes or 15 minutes, he has made his Asr Namaz too, he has made his Zuhr Namaz too, and he continues with his journey. Now the Maghrib, the sun will set. Now if a person is a jahil or he doesn't know the masail, then he will get very excited and get everybody also worried. But if he knows the masail, that there's still about 1 hour and 20 minutes to go before Isha time, so he will say, let's carry on, let's proceed, because we don't want to stop here. And then just about 10 minutes before Isha Salat, you stop somewhere, make your Maghrib Salat, rest for about 5 minutes, it's time for Isha Salat, make the Isha Salat 2 Farz and 3 Witr and proceed. Now what is difficult in that? If a person wants to go to the toilet, he will stop somewhere. If he wants to fill up petrol, he will stop somewhere. And for so many other reasons, he will stop. So if he is really concerned about practicing upon Sharia, then Sharia is not difficult. It is we who make things difficult. So what I was going to discuss again was that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi had said, and again we went on a different line, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi had said that for every person who is a salik, and which Muslim says that he does not want this connection with Allah Ta'ala, which Muslim will say that he does not want a connection with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which true Muslim will say that I don't want in my life Deen and Sharia? Yes, there can be negligence, there can be deficiency, there can be a weakness, there can be nafs and shaitan having overpowered this person. But deep down in his heart, if he is a Muslim, then he must have the desire that I want to be a practical Muslim. He must cry over his weakness and over his sins, but if he does not have the desire that I want to be a practical Muslim, then what kind of a Muslim is that? So he says that the person's aqidahs must be first put right, and that is where last week we went off onto the month of Safar, that our aqidah must come right. And alhamdulillah, that discussion helped a lot of brothers and sisters also, because many people truly believe that in the month of Safar, lots of difficulties, hardships and problems come. So therefore, you must not get married in Safar, and you must not get proposed in Safar, and you must not undertake any big business deals in Safar. But if that business deal is bringing in $1 million or R1 million, then they'll forget about all the nohusat of Safar. And all the bad luck of Safar will be forgotten, because they'll say, no, this Safar month brought a lot of good luck. So we went on to that line. Nevertheless, so he says that this is the first thing, that our aqidahs must be put right. We must have a very firm and a very solid belief in the oneness and the greatness and the glory and the might and the power and the unity of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His oneness. We must believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as He is with all His attributes. The attributes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that He is the sustainer. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Razzaq. Allah Ta'ala sustains. So we have to believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as a sustainer, not just the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala sustains. Because then we will look at our business and we'll say, no, but I am being sustained through my business. I am being sustained through this income of mine, through that investment of mine. No doubt those are means of sustenance. But who is it that creates that means? It is none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the mother's stomach, which business sustained a person? In the mother's stomach, which business was providing for the person? Who was giving the person hands, feet, ears, mind, heart, soul, everything in the mother's stomach? And after birth again, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides milk for that baby and puts that intelligence into that baby's mind that this is how you should suck the milk of your mother. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the sustainer. Now that's another subject. But we have to believe in Allah Ta'ala as He is with all His sifats. Not just a vague belief that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala exists. That kind of belief, many people who don't even believe in Islam and Sharia and Deen, they also say that there is something like existence of God. So that much of belief that there is an existence of God is not sufficient. It must be our yaqeen, our deep-hearted faith. So now when we believe in that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so then we have to believe that every decision is made by that Allah. He has given us a willpower. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us a willpower. And we are being punished or will be rewarded in the manner that we use this willpower which Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Now nobody dragged us and forced us from our home and tied chain around our hands and brought us to the masjid now to make salat. It was the willpower that Allah Ta'ala had given to us, and we used that willpower and we came for salat. And there are many of those who use the willpower to go somewhere else. So the punishment and the reward is because of that usage of that willpower. But the decision or the power to make use of that willpower is given by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When the person decides to do something, then the qudrat or the power to undertake that action is given by Allah Ta'ala. Now I use my willpower that I want to pick this hand up of mine. So I picked it up. But who is it that gave me the strength to pick up this hand? I used the willpower that was given by Allah Ta'ala and I picked it up. But if Allah Ta'ala decided that it must remain paralyzed, no, Allah Ta'ala protect, then which person can pick his hand up? So we have a willpower. So we must make use of that willpower. And that is what we are going to be questioned about. But we have to believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes the decisions after that in accordance with our actions. So whatever suffering we are going through around the world, it is because of our actions and because of our deeds. Whether we like it or not, that is the truth and nothing but the truth. And we don't have to go very far. Always we will look at the actions of people around the world. We just have to go to our casinos and our discos and our rave clubs. And we have to see the illicit love relationships across the board, school children of 9 years and 10 years and 15 years and married people of 50 years and 60 years. We have to look across the board the amount of sins that we are indulging in. There's nothing but zulmat and darkness. Ask the people who have got a heart. We don't have that heart. We have got darkness in our own hearts. What can we see darkness? But the thing is that those people who have got a heart, when they just walk out, then they can see that how much of zulmat and darkness there is. So in our own lives, there's so much of weakness, so much of shortcoming, so much of indulgence in sins. So the conditions that befall an ummat is because of the actions of the ummat. However, amongst the ummat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will always have those whom we term as the awliya'i siddiqeen, or those whom we term as the walis of Allah Ta'ala, or those who are pious, righteous, God-fearing. Those people will always exist, because Allah Ta'ala Himself has said in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. O you believers, fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and become of those who are the sadiqeen, the truthful ones. Those who are righteous, those who are pious, join them, become like them. So if they were not existing, how would we become like them? How would we have been able to join them? So Allah Ta'ala will always keep such people. And the muhabbat of those people Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes to spread. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala first tells the angels, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that I love so and so, so you too must love so and so. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is told to announce amongst the other angels of the heavens, that I love so-and-so, Allah Ta'ala loves so-and-so, they must also love so-and-so. And then that comes down onto the earth. And then the good and the pious people begin to love that person. Then that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala also loves that person. It's not the film actors and actresses that we see 1 million people running behind them and we say that, look, that person, when he travels anywhere, there are 1 billion people chasing after him. It's not that love which is the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That love is for the face of the person, or it is just for the voice of the person. How many times I have said and mentioned this example, that if somebody has to, for example, and if what's wrong, what does it cost in repeating it if it comes to mind again? If somebody has to announce now, or it has to come over the radio stations or in the newspapers, that the most beautiful film actress of the world is going to be arriving at the Durban International Airport, then just see the crowd that will gather there. No buzruk in the world will get such crowd as she will get. But after that, a few minutes later, they get another announcement that she met up with a terrible accident and she got a third degree burn and her face is blackened and all the beauty is gone, and now they will be bringing her and showing her body. Then see how many people go there to the... Why? Because that was just for the face. Something that will wither and perish. So this muhabbat that we are talking about, it descends on the hearts of the Ahlullah. The pious people of the place, of the time, they begin to love that person. So then that is the sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also loves that person. Now this was exactly what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed Shaykh Ahmad Yasin rahmatullah alayhi with. His piety, his taqwa, his commitment to the cause, his dedication to Sharia and Deen, that was what put this love into the hearts of millions around the world. And he is one of those few people whose love was in the hearts of the Ahlullah of the world, because there were some sifats and some qualities in him. Across the board, ulama of different schools of thought, but you will not find any difference of opinion with regards to his piety, his taqwa and his dedication to the cause. There can be some difference of opinion with regards to the suicide bombers, as they call it, and other things. But in my personal meeting with him, a very humble, simple, down-to-earth person who had a great passion for Palestine, and it was because Palestine, we know, is the place from where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Miraj took place. It is the land of Miraj. The Masjid al-Aqsa is there. The masjid which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you should go and make salat in. And if you cannot go and make salat there, then send at least some olive oil. Because in those days they used to light the lamps with olive oil. Meaning that if you cannot do anything or you can't go and make salat, then at least keep that masjid alive. Keep it lit up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a person who dies in Makkah Mukarrama, even if he dies just like that without being martyred, he is a shaheed. And the same thing he mentioned with regards to Palestine, with Sham, that if the person has to die there, then he will be martyred, he will be shaheed. And here he was shaheed upon shaheed. I mentioned these things when we were having the khatam of Yasin Sharif the other night. Nevertheless, so what I was mentioning is that one sifat of his, which I have mentioned already two or three times, and I will repeat, and this is something that was very glaring, very striking and very conspicuous in his life, that there was a dedication to Sharia and Deen and Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was very much concerned about his salah. Here is a person that was targeted, and he knew fully well that he is the target of the Israeli government. He knew that the enemies are targeting him. He knew that Sharon and his other devils are targeting him. But still he has the courage to go to the masjid Fajr Salat with just his two or three bodyguards, and he goes to the masjid Fajr Salat and he comes back. And that was his habit. As far as possible, although he was almost blind, his hearing was affected, he was on a wheelchair, but he used to make every effort to go and make his salat in the masjid with Jamaat. That is the lesson that we must follow. That is the example that we must follow. And those are the reasons why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put such love of his into the hearts of so many people around the world. Otherwise, to shout slogans is an easy thing. You can get non-Muslims in by the millions to shout slogans for you. But this is what we mean, that the person is committed to a cause, but he is not compromising on Deen and Sharia in any way. And yet for him there could have been an excuse also, that he was being targeted, so therefore he could have made his salat at home. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rest his body in peace. Allah ta'ala give him the highest abode in Jannat. And Allah ta'ala liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of these zalim Yahudis. And Allah ta'ala give us hidayat to make amal on Deen and on Sharia. so that we become the mahboob of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when we become the beloveds of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the walis of Allah ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala himself will send his nusrat and his help. Then with a little bit of effort, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will liberate those lands. May Allah ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the entire ummah around the world.